Hey, we're so glad you're here with us today. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, and today we're continuing in an inspiring series, When You're Hoping for a Miracle. Now, in this series, Pastor Rick is guiding us through God's Word and showing us how to strengthen our faith and live with greater love, peace, patience, and self-control, even when life feels hopeless. Now, if you've been longing for a breakthrough, you're not going to want to miss this. And now, a very touching message from Rick. It's part two of a message called, When a Friend is Dying.
Now, what are the fears that you have with people who are dying? Well, you're afraid you're going to say the wrong thing. You're afraid that you're going to make matters worse. You're afraid that you're going to mess up. And so, as a result, you don't do anything. Let me tell you something as a pastor who has been, I couldn't count the number of people I've been with as they took their last breath. I have watched many, many people die. And I've been there in the rooms with them many, many times. It is almost impossible to mess it up. Let me just put your mind at ease. There's almost nothing you can say to a dying person that's going to mess them up except, ooh, you look bad. You know, but outside of that, almost nothing you can say. It's not like you're going to spill the beans and say you're dying. They know that. They already know it. And just you being there will make a difference. For those of you who haven't been around somebody dying, death is really quite ordinary. There's nothing spooky about it. No ghosts come out. There's nothing weird or wicked. Really, when people die, they just stop breathing. About all there is to it. It's very normal. Everybody in the world eventually does it. It's not scary. It's not spooky. It's not weird. You don't hear music. You know, people just stop breathing. There is nothing weird about it at all. They just stop breathing. And the one moment they're here, and the next moment they're not. And contrary to Lifetime TV movies, and Hallmark shows, there are very few Hallmark moments when people die. People don't sit up in bed and go, and I love you. You know, it just doesn't happen that way. I have been around so many people when they die. Very few make great statements. It's pretty rare. You know, my dad made one, but most people, they don't say anything profound. It's just, their body slows down and their heart slows down and their breathing slows down and they stop and that's it. And it's not something that you need to be afraid of. As I said, there aren't any of these Hallmark moments like you see on TV. The biggest mistake you can make with somebody who's dying is simply not be there. Not be there. That takes us to the next letter, O, which is the first thing you need to do, and that is I need to offer my physical presence. It is the greatest gift that you can give to someone who is dying. Offer my physical presence. That means you show up. You are there. You are with them. You stay close. You stay near. And you are with them when they are dying. That's what, you see, the two biggest fears that people have when they're dying are, number one, the fear of abandonment, and number two, the fear of dying alone. You don't want to die alone. You want somebody there when you're dying. You don't want to be abandoned and left alone to die by yourself. No one should ever be left alone to die. No one should ever have to die on their own. It just means you just show up. You're there with them. You're not saying anything profound. You may not even be talking to them. But what it means is you get in the same room with them. Instead of reading the magazine out in the living room, you sit in the bedroom with them and read the magazine in there. Instead of watching TV in the den, you sit in their room with them and you watch TV with them there. Or you knit, or you talk, or you sleep, or you work on your computer. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You're simply in the room. That's the big deal. That's the greatest gift you can give to somebody who's dying, just to be with them. You don't have to be talking to them all the time. They don't want to talk. but just be present with them. This is the problem David had in his dying. Notice this verse on the screen, Psalm 142. I looked for someone to come and help me, but no one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit about what happens to me. That is the epitaph of millions of elderly people right now who are in rest homes and assisted living and nursing homes and all these things. And they said, nobody cares about me. Nobody pays attention to me. I could die over here in the corner and nobody'd even notice. Everybody needs the physical presence. Now, let me just get you really practical. One of the things that you can do to show physical presence, one of the greatest gifts you can give to somebody who's dying, is touch them. Touch them. You write that down. Touch them. And it, touch says physical, I'm here with you. It is not an accident that when a baby is crying, you pick it up and touch it. You pick up the baby and you draw it close to you and you hold it tight, and it is in that physical connection that the baby calms down. Our skin was made by God to be touched. Your skin was made to be touched. Now, when a person's in bed and they're dying, and what do you touch? I mean, a lot of people don't like to be touched on the face. I mean, it's a matter of personal preference. You can squeeze their hand. Let me just give you a little thing that I do. Touch their elbow. Elbow is a nice, non-sexual place to touch. Okay? And what you do is you can grab one hand, grab their hand with one hand, and put your hand under their elbow at the same time. And that says, I'm not just kind of hanging on. I'm here. I'm here for you. And there is a physical presence of using both of your hands to hold a hand and put your hand on their forearm or their elbow and just hold them like that while they're in bed. And you watch the stress go down. You can do this. And then you say to them, I am here. And I will be with you. And I'm not going anywhere. And you don't have to worry about it. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm here with you for the duration. And that is a great gift of love. And if you have to leave the room, phone call, bathroom, or whatever, you say, I will be right back. I'm not leaving you. I'll be right back. And you assure them of your presence. And then you remind them that God is with them. That even when you have to go out and take a phone call or whatever, that they're never really alone. God has said over and over again in Scripture, I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. In fact, the great Psalm 23 that everybody knows, even when I walk through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid. Why? For you are close beside me. You're with me. It is when God is near, you lose your fear. So you remind them, I'm going to be here with you. You touch them and you remind them that God is always going to be with them at each moment. And you offer your physical presence. I got this letter this week from Jack. He wrote, Rick, my mother Betsy is 96 years old. She still has her original hearing, teeth, eyes, and wits about her. One of her roommates is in the nursing home. Was a dear soul named Lucille, 4 years younger than Mom. Lucille suffered from a very poor hearing and eyesight, and fortunately for over 20 years, my mother was a proofreader for my stepfather, who published our hometown newspaper and authored 32 books. So Mom's passion for reading has never stopped. So Lanny and I gave Mom a copy of The Purpose-Driven Life to read, which she devoured personally. Then Mom reread it again out loud to Lucille. So next we gave her Kay's book, Dangerous Surrender. Now the timing of these books could have not been better. Lucille's health was slipping badly in her final days, and Mom felt a little lost, unsure of how to comfort her dying friend, Lucille. But by reading Purpose-Driven Life, Mom discovered that God still had a purpose for her, even at age 96. Her purpose was to just be there for others in that nursing home as a listening post and a counselor. And then by reading Dangerous Surrender, Mom discovered the importance and value of just being present with people, not having to say anything, but just being there, just holding Lucille's hand, and sitting there quietly with her, and praying for God to comfort Lucille. Even at 96, Mom is still learning that God has a purpose for her life. So now we're giving her a copy of The Purpose of Christmas. Now, Mom may outlive all of us, so I guess you're going to have to keep writing books. Confront my own fears. Offer physical support, physical presence. Then the M in comfort is minister with practical assistance. Minister with practical assistance. You give them your physical presence and you give them practical assistance. What does that mean? It means you do whatever they need done. You run errands for them, you help them in little ways, in practical ways. Now, when somebody's dying, they usually don't feel good. And they're often in pain. David says this in Psalm 38 here on the screen. I'm burning with fever and I'm near death. I'm worn out and utterly crushed. My heart is troubled and I groan with pain. What do you do when somebody's in that situation? You give them comfort. Whatever you can do. You want the lights on, you want the lights off. What can I do? Can I get you some ice chips? Can I rub your back? What you do anything, it's the little things that show love. You offer practical assistance and relieve pain and relieve discomfort. And don't be afraid to ask questions. You just say, well, you know, what do you need? And don't be afraid to suggest things. The Bible says this here on the screen. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. And nobody's weaker than somebody who's dying. And be patient with everyone. Now, why does it say be patient with everyone? Because when you're in pain, you're cranky. Have you noticed that? It's hard to be spiritual when you got a toothache. When you're in pain, you don't feel really happy. And when people are dying, they often get cranky. You cut them some slack. The Bible says be patient with everyone. Have you noticed that when people get older, they can get cranky? Well, part of it is they don't feel good a lot of the time. And so what you need to do is you need, the Bible says, be patient with everyone. And you minister practical assistance. Now, why is this important? Because another one of the biggest fears that people have when they're dying is the fear of losing control. People have this fear that they're watching control move further and further. First, I couldn't drive, and now I can't walk, and now I can't get out of bed. And now I can't use the bathroom on my own. And they find control being taken away from them more and more and more. So let me let you in on a little secret. How you can minister to people who are dying. The way you help them is give them choices. Because every time you give them a choice, you give control back to them. So you say, would you like your slippers on or would you like your slippers off? You've empowered them. Would you like the light on or would you like the light off? You've empowered them. Would you like the window open or closed? Would you like for me to change the channel? Would you like to watch this or not? You don't just bring in a breakfast, say, it's time for breakfast. You say, would you like your breakfast now or later? Every time you give people a choice, you give them a little bit of power back. Does that make sense? Okay. And it is comforting. And that's what you can do in ministering with practical needs by giving them choices. The F in comfort stands for fortify them with emotional support. Fortify means to build up. Fortify them with emotional support. You give them your physical presence, you give them practical assistance, and you give them emotional support because they're carrying a heavy, heavy burden. People who are dying are carrying all kinds of emotions inside them. And the Bible says this in Galatians 6, verse 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Love your neighbor as yourself. He says, you fulfill that love your neighbor as yourself part when you carry each other's burdens. Now, how do you do that? How do you carry somebody else's emotional burden? How do you do that? Here's how you do it. You pray for them, and you pray for them aloud. And you pray in front of them aloud, and you pray with them aloud. And when you pray for them, you are giving them emotional support. You say, Rick, I don't know what to pray. All right, I'm going to tell you how to do this. Here's how you pray for somebody who's dying. What you pray is whatever they say, you mirror it back to God in a prayer. When the person is dying says, you know, this really frustrates me, then you pray, now, Lord, Susie's really frustrated by this. And when the person is dying says, you know what, I wish I had done this and wish I hadn't done that, you know, Lord, Susie's saying, I wish I'd done that, and she wishes she had done, and you just pray that. And when the person says, you know, I'm really angry, I'm really irritated, I don't like what's going on. Dear God, Bob is really having a tough time right now. He's upset, he's angry, he's frustrated. What you do is you simply mirror to God what you've heard them say. That's what you pray. You listen to them, and whatever they say, you turn it into prayer to God. What are you doing? You are lifting their burden. Because when somebody is sick, sometimes they're just too sick to pray. They don't even have the energy to pray. And so they just say, you know, something. I'm so miserable. When you turn that into a prayer, this is called interceding. You are interceding for another person. And you're saying, God, you heard what Betty just said. You know, she is happy that all of her kids are alive, but she's sorry that John, her son's not going to be here till next week. And she wants to make sure that she stays alive till John gets here. Lord, this is her prayer, and I'm praying this too. You simply mirror to God what the person told you. That's what you pray for the person who is dying. And you know, you can ask questions. You can say, "Well, this wasn't what you expected, was it?" Now, I want you to notice a verse, and let's read it aloud. Psalm 116:15. Read it with me. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Did you know that when a believer dies, God says that is precious? Not only is your life precious to God, your death is precious to God. Not only is your life precious to him when you're doing something with it, but when you are an invalid and you can't do anything and you feel helpless and worthless and yet you're making no contribution to the world and all you can do is lay in bed, God says, you're still precious to me. Life is precious to God. From the moment you were conceived inside your mother's womb, it's precious. That's why abortion is wrong. Because the Bible tells us that every day of your life was planned before you took your first breath. And God says abortion short circuits God's plan. So before you're born, your life is precious. Your entire life, it's precious to God. And when you're dying, when a person is old or helpless or incapacitated or they've lost their mental acuity, their life is just as precious as it was when they were making $50,000 a year or contributing to society or whatever. Now, what's the implication of that? If the life of that invalid or that person is precious to God, it better be precious to you.
What a great message from Pastor Rick today. There's something I always take away from his message. Here's Rick to tell you how you can help support this ministry.
Jesus told his disciples that they should live their lives according to 5 specific purposes. He said, you've got to love God with all your heart, that's worship, and love your neighbor as yourself, that's ministry, that's called the Great Commandment. And then Jesus said, go make disciples, that's evangelism, baptize them into the family of God, that's fellowship, a sign of fellowship. And then he said, teach them to obey everything I've taught you, that's discipleship, and we call that the Great Commission. We believe at Daily Hope that a great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission will produce a great Christian, a great church, a great company, a great community. You know, I started Daily Hope so I could spread the good news about Jesus, not just across America, but all around the world. And we want people to know that God's Word is filled with hope and truth. And the power that we need to follow him every day is available to every single one. You know as well as I do that the Word of God changes lives. It's alive, it's active, and it breathes new life and new love into all of our lives.
So wherever you listen to this, whether you listen on the website, whether you listen on a radio station, or whether you listen through a podcast, you're a part of the Daily Hope family, and I need your help. We could not do this without your support. Now, you know, I don't take any funds from this broadcast. We don't have any giant million-dollar donor who's giving big gifts to this. It comes from daily donations from listeners like you. We're 100% listener-funded. Would you continue to pray for this broadcast, and would you continue to support us? And write to me. Let me hear from you. I absolutely love reading the stories that are sent to me. So write me, pray for me, and support this ministry. And God will bless it, and God will bless you, and we'll get to heaven, and we'll thank God for all the people who are going to be in heaven because you cared.
Hey, if you'd like to support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. And really, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.